Impact and sub-drop coordination, advanced drum and bass effects in Ableton Live. In this lesson we're doing one of those. It sounds simple, but it's actually the difference between amateur and pro moves, making the impact and the sub-drop land like one single event. Because in DNB, a drop doesn't feel huge just because it's loud. It feels huge when the mid and high transient, the noise and snap, and the low-end weight all arrive together, with zero confusion. No smeared transient, no sub-wobble fighting the kick, no limiter freaking out. And crucially, it still hits in mono. So here's the mission. We're going to build a repeatable workflow. An impact stack with three layers, plus a dedicated mono sub-drop. Then we'll coordinate timing, phase, headroom, and sidechain so it hits hard but stays controlled. By the end, you'll have a drop impact rack concept you can reuse in rollers, techie steppers, foghorn stuff, even jungle reload moments. Alright, set up first. Set your tempo to 174 BPM. Typical roller pace. For one shots, keep warp off unless you truly need it. Now a really important producer habit, while you're building this, don't build into clipping. Aim to have your drop section peaking around -6 dBFS on the master. Not because we're scared of loudness, but because we want room to make smart decisions without everything being distorted and squeezed. Put a limiter on the master only as protection. Ceiling at -0.3. Look ahead 1 millisecond. And mentally promise yourself, you are not trying to hear it slam into the limiter yet. Add a spectrum after that. Block size 8192, averaging around 1000 milliseconds. Set the range so you can actually see low end, like -72 to 0. During the drop, you're watching the 30 to 88C zone like a hawk. That's where it felt massive can quickly become why is my master pumping and my kick vanished. Now we build the impact stack. Create a group track and name it Drop Impact Stack. Inside, create three audio tracks named Top, Body, and Tail. Think of this like a film sound effect. The top is the click and air that tells your brain the hit happened. The body is the punch that makes it feel physical on regular speakers. The tail is the space, the boom impression, the aftershock. Each layer has a job. If one layer starts doing another layer's job, that's when things get messy. Let's start with the top layer, attack plus air. For the source, you can use a clean click one shot, a snare transient, some tiny foley like a metal tick super quiet, or even a noise burst. The main criteria is, it speaks immediately and doesn't have a bunch of low end. On the top track, at EQ 8 first. High pass it somewhere between 300 and 600 HZ with a steep slope. You're basically telling it, you are not allowed to add weight, you are allowed to add definition. If you need extra shine, add a gentle shelf boost around 8 to 12 kHz, maybe 2 to 5 dB. Don't overdo it, because brittle highs will make your impact sound small and cheap. Next, add saturator. Drive it 2 to 6 dB. Soft clip on. The point isn't distortion. The point is density. When you saturate a click slightly, it stays present without needing insane volume. Then add drum bus. Subtle. Drive maybe 2 to 10%. Crunch low, 0 to 10%. Transients up, like plus 10 to plus 30. This is one of the best ways to get front without just EQ boosting. Then utility, let the top be wide. Width maybe 120 to 160%. But also turn bass mono on and set it around 120 Hz. Even though you high-passed, this is just a safe habit. Anything that accidentally sneaks into low mids won't start widening and messing with mono. Now timing. Zoom in. Make sure the transient begins exactly on the grid line of the drop. No lazy fade in. No pre-silence. If the sample starts late, it will feel late, and you'll compensate by making it louder, and that's how you end up with harsh impacts. Cool. Now the body layer. Mid punch and weight. This is the layer that ruins drops when it's not controlled, because people accidentally let the body layer become a second sub source. Don't do that. The body should suggest weight, not steal the sub's job. For sources, tom hits, mid-heavy impacts, short kick layers, or a synth thump from operator. If it's synth, keep it higher than true sub. On body, EQ 8 first again. High pass around 70 to 90 HZ. Steep. This is you protecting the sub drop space. If you need chest, add a gentle bell boost around 150 to 220 HZ, just 1 to 4 dB. If it's boxy, pull a bit around 300 to 500 HZ. Then glue compressor. Attack 3 to 10 milliseconds so the initial plunge gets through. Release on auto or around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds. Ratio 2 to 1. Aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on a hit. We're not flattening it, we're just making it behave like part of a controlled stack. Optional saturator after that. 1 to 4 dB drive, just to densify. Here's the rule check. The body should make the impact feel big on small speakers, without adding sub. If you solo the body and it sounds like it has a real sub note, you've already lost control. High pass more, shorten it, or pick a different sound. Now the tail layer. Controlled boom and space. Tail gives size. Tail also destroys groove at 174 BPM, if you let it wash. So we're going to build a tail that feels big but ends in time. Put reverb on the tail track. Decay around 0.4 to 1.2 seconds. Pre-delay 10 to 25 milliseconds so the transient stays clean. Low cut on the reverb. 200 to 400 Hz. High cut. Maybe 6 to 10 kHz. Keep it darkish. Bright reverb often makes DNB impacts feel like EDM. Then gate. This is the key step people skip. Set the threshold, so the tail gets trimmed to something like 200 to 450 milliseconds. You want aftershock, not fog for the next bar. Keep return basically instant. Your sculpting length. After the gate, EQ 8. Aggressive high pass again, 200 to 500 Hz. Notch any ringing frequencies you hear. And listen in context, because a ring that sounds cool solo might fight the bass line entry. Arrangement tip. In a roller, the tail usually needs to get out of the way before the first bar's kick and snare pattern really establishes. Jungle can be splashier, but still controlled. You want impact, not blur. Alright, impact stack built. Now we make the sub drop. Create a new MIDI track named SUB drop. We'll do the clean reliable version using operator. Load operator. Ask assign waves. One voice. Glide off for now. Turn on the pitch envelope. Set the amount between minus 12 and minus 24 semitones. That means the note starts higher and falls into the sub. Set the decay around 80 to 200 milliseconds. That decay time is basically the arrival time. And that is a huge concept. Your sub drop might start on the grid, but it can still feel late if it takes too long to reach the low point your ear is waiting for. Amp envelope. Attack 0 to 2 milliseconds. Decay 200 to 500 milliseconds. Sustain basically off. Release 50 to 120 milliseconds, just enough to avoid clicks and avoid an ugly hard stop. Now devices on the sub drop. EQ 8 first. If you need it, a tiny boost around 45 to 55 Hz, 1 to 3 dB, and cut the stuff below 25 to 30 Hz with a gentle high pass, like 12 dB per octave. That sub 25 energy is usually not musical. It just eats headroom and makes limiters panic. Then saturator, subtle. Drive 1 to 3 dB, soft clip on. The goal is not to make it crunchy. The goal is to generate a little harmonic content, so you can perceive the sub drop on smaller systems. Then add a compressor and sidechain it from the kick track or kick group. Attack very fast. 0.1 to 1 millisecond. Release 60 to 120 milliseconds. Ratio 4 to 1. Aim for 2 to 6 dB of ducking when the kick hits. We'll adjust this later depending on the groove. Then utility. Width to 0%. Mono. Bass mono on. 120 Hz. The sub drop is not allowed to be wide. Clubs don't want it. Vinyl doesn't want it. And your mono test will expose it instantly. Now we hit the heart of the lesson. Coordination. Impact versus sub versus kick. First, decide your center of gravity. In most DNB, the kick transient is the time anchor, especially for rollers. The impact transient can be exactly with it, or even a hair before it, like 1 to 5 milliseconds, to feel extra punchy. But the sub drop is special. You often want the note to start on the downbeat, yet you want the lowest point of the pitch fall to land with the kick's meat. So here's a practical method. Pick your drop bar. Let's say bar 33, just as an example. Place the impact top and body, so their transients are exactly on 33.1.1. Place the sub drop MIDI note also on 33.1.1. Now, instead of nudging the MIDI note around immediately, adjust the operator pitch envelope decay so the pitch settles into the target sub region right when the kick feels strongest. And here's the coach note. Align perceived timing, not just grid timing. If you play it and it feels like the sub arrives late, it might be because the pitch drop takes too long to reach the bottom. Shorten the pitch envelope decay or start from a slightly lower starting pitch. You're making the arrival moment earlier. Next, micro-alignment by ear plus zoom. Zoom to sample level. If the impact transient feels late, nudge only the top layer earlier by a tiny amount, like minus 5 to minus 15 samples. That's ridiculously small, but in a fast genre it matters. If it feels clicky or facey with a kick, try nudging forward slightly instead, or shorten the top sample so it doesn't overlap weirdly. And avoid time stretching one shots if you can. Use clip start offsets, or nudge. Now phase and mono control. Do not skip this. Low-end disasters usually come from stacking lows in multiple layers or having stereo low content. You already high-pass the top, body, tail, and you made the sub drop mono. Great. But we also need to check the relationship between the kick's low end and the sub drop. Quick test. Put utility on the master and toggle mono. If your drop loses power, something is wide or out of phase. And here's a fast trick. Polarity check between kick and sub drop. If your kick has a strong sub component, put utility on the sub drop track and hit phase invert on left and right. Choose the setting that gives you a stronger, more stable low end. This is not voodoo, it's just quick physics. Sometimes it fixes mystery thinness instantly. Another coach concept. Pick one low-end boss for the first 200 to 400 milliseconds. In many drops, you get a cleaner hit if either the kick or the sub drop is the dominant low-frequency event right at the beginning, not both at full weight. Decide who wins. If the kick wins, keep the sub drop shorter, start it higher, or duck it more. If the sub drop wins, maybe your kick is shorter and more clicky, with less sub. That decision alone can make the drop feel bigger because it becomes clear. Now let's add the secret sauce. The pre-drop vacuum. Right before the drop, you want the mix to pull back so the impact feels bigger without actually beating louder. Contrast is free loudness. Method A. Microsilence. Mute or cut the pre-drop elements for a 1/16 to 1/8 right before the impact. You can leave a tiny reverb tail if you want continuity, but drop the main energy. This is super DJ friendly and it works every time. Method B. Pre-drop filter plus volume ramp. On your pre-drop music group, add auto filter, LP24. Over the last half bar, automate cutoff down to about 300 to 800 Hz. Keep resonance modest, 5 to 15%. Then automate utility gain down maybe 2 to 6 dB in the last quarter bar. Snap it back to zero gain on the downbeat. That snapback is the door opening effect. Now glue the impact stack as one event. On the drop impact stack group, add glue compressor. Attack around 10 milliseconds so the transient gets through. Release 0.1 to 0.3 seconds or auto, ratio 2 to 1, and keep gain reduction tiny, 1 to 2 dB max. You're not trying to squash, you're trying to make the three layers feel like they belong together. Optionally add a saturator after, drive 1 to 2 dB, soft clip if you want. This audio version is shortened for playback.